This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Record with Chicago Line is sponsored by RF Bank and Trust and World Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago, your host. So glad you could join us today on God Radio 96.9 on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Trust that you are well. You want to give us a call today? The numbers are 323-622. That's 3236232 or 324-3125-43 or 324-2529. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can or you can text me on or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Is my audio okay? Studio isn't saying anything, so I'm assuming it's okay. Somebody says it's intermittent. Is it? I know the echo was happening and it's gone now. Okay. So once again, I'm happy that you could join us today on Guardian Radio. Now, you all know I have a passion for helping us understand some things. I believe that if I'm going to be on this radio, that I should use whatever knowledge and experience I have to bring a better understanding to. From time to time, I do express my point of view about an issue, but more often than not, I try to take things that happen and see if I can't bring some knowledge and understanding or clarity to the issue. And I am in many ways a passionate soul. There are some things about which I am very passionate. I'm very passionate about us being reasonable and us being reasoning people. I'm not always reasonable. My reasoning is certainly not perfect, but I really have a passion for it. And sometimes that passion gets in the way because it's intolerant of opposition to reasoning, opposition to logic, opposition to facts, opposition to truth. I'm intolerant. I get impatient. I get in my passion. I, like a bull in a china shop, I run through people to get at the truth. I don't argue for argument's sake. Nobody's going to come to me and raise an argument just for an argument. I have no interest in that. If you engage me in an argument, I want to get to the truth. I want to get to clarity. I want to get to common ground. And so I can be very bullish that way. It can come across very badly sometimes too. I've been working on that. But I have a passion for it. So I say that to say, you know, that passion leads me to, as I'm observing things, so I read the newspapers, I listen to the news, I watch the parliamentary channel, I listen to people. And sometimes as I do, things pique my attention. And my passion might lead me to speak to it. If that leads you to me to speak to something that is a critical of a party or group that you like, you have my early apology that I am not intending that, but I'm not going to sway from that because you may be offended by it. If you are FNM or PLP or DNA or COI, honestly, I really honestly don't care. I'm not trying to offend your grouping. I'm not trying to criticize your grouping, but sometimes the things about which I speak happen to be about your grouping. I'm going to experience some discomfort. Now, let me also say, when you are the government of the Bahamas, there's no question on planet Earth that you are going to be the subject of more discussions than any other group in the political sphere. That's just a given. It has been so from Sir Lyndon's day. In fact, prior to Sir Lyndon's day, the Bay Street Boys experienced it, the PLP in government experienced it, the FNM in government, and then so on. It's going, because you're the government of the day, there is no greater actor in single form, no greater actor in single form in our society, in our nation, than a government. The private sector as a group is a more significant actor, but they are individual actors whose collective doings impact upon us. There's no single greatest actor. There's no single entity spending as much money in the country as the government of the Bahamas. There's an actor capable of modifying, of directing, of constraining our behavior on a daily basis than the government of the Bahamas by virtue of its power to both decree law or to pass law and to enforce them. So you are going to have, you're going to be the subject of a lot of talk very often. So, and people say, oh, well, why you don't talk about the opposition or why you don't talk? You talk about the opposition, but the opposition and the government, they could talk, but they can't act like the government, and it's the government's actions that very often become the subject of discussion. And the government craves the attention. They just don't crave attention that's negative. Why else does the government look for PR? Why else would the government have a press secretary and communications team? Why else would the government be calling the press to things it's doing? The government wants attention. It just does not want negative attention. Unfortunately, negative attention comes because sometimes the government says, sometimes the government does, sometimes the government does not say, sometimes the government does not do things that bring it negative attention, and it's going to get that attention. And if you're thin-skinned, you are going to have a miserable time in government. If you're thin-skinned as a supporter of the government, you're going to have a miserable time while your government is in office. But if you are careful to listen, you could disagree and say, you know, I don't agree with that, but if you're thin skin, it's gonna be a problem. So I lay the context. So yesterday, the Prime Minister of our country, our Prime Minister, Prime Minister Brave Davis, speaking to the fact that the government of the Bahamas continues to be in breach of the law. Notice I didn't say the Davis administration, I said the government of the Bahamas. Because the law related to the Emergency Powers COVID-19 Regulations 2020 required that, and I quote, the Minister of Finance shall, within 6 weeks of the expiration of the proclamation of emergency, lay a report before the House of Assembly detailing the total expenditure of the goods and services procured, the suppliers of the goods and services procured, and the reasons for the use of the suppliers of the goods and the providers of the services, end quote. Okay. So the Minnesota administration promulgated, issued this emergency powers COVID-19 regulations 2020. So this was done under the Minnesota administration. Why did the Minnesota administration not produce a report of expenditure related to these things? It could not. Why could it not? Because the emergency powers had not ended, had not expired by the time as it lost office. The emergency powers were ended by the Davis administration. And lots of people applauded the Davis administration for that because they were tired, exhausted by the emergency powers in force. So it was therefore the Davis administration's responsibility as the continuing directors of the government of the Bahamas to bring, within 6 weeks of the expiration of that order, which would have been, I think the order may have ended around October or thereabout, so it should have been brought by the end of last should have been brought by the end of last year. That was not done. Actually, it should have been brought by the end of the end of 2021. Okay, because the Davis administration came into office in September. The emergency powers ended, I believe, in October, November. At the latest, it should have ended either the end of 2021 or at the beginning of 2022. So that wasn't done, though, right? Yeah, so around about, having ended the emergency powers, the obligation fell on the government to now bring a report of the expenditure under the emergency powers. Now, you cannot have your cake and eat it too. I don't know if you all know what that expression means. Like, if I give you a slice of cake, you can't at the same time as you want to continue to have that slice of cake, eat it. Because as you are eating it, you are getting rid of it and therefore cannot have it. That's what it means. So you can't tell me and all these talk show hosts, government is continuous. And then decide when government is continuous and inconvenient, it was them who did it, them. In this instance, the government of the Bahamas, the Minister of Finance of the government, the regulations didn't say the Minister of Finance, comma, the Honorable Dr. Hubert Minnis, comma, shall within 6 weeks. It didn't say that. It didn't say the Minister of Finance, comma, the Honorable Brave Davis, comma, shall within 6 days. Didn't mention a human being's name. You don't do that in law unless it's some specific law related to a human being. You put the burden of doing this on the position of Minister of Finance. So I ask you, who's Minister of Finance today? Prime Minister, the Honorable Bird Davis, is the Minister of Finance. And so he shall, within 6 weeks of the expiration of the proclamation of emergency, lay a report before the House of Assembly detailing the total expenditure of goods and services procured, the suppliers of the goods and services procured, and the reasons for the use of the suppliers of the goods and services and providers of the services. It has not been done. So we are in breach of the law. The government is in breach of the law. The government is in breach of the regulations. The government has not complied with the regulations. The government is in breach of the law. Why? Why is the government in breach of the law? Well, the Prime Minister told us. The Prime Minister and Minister of Finance said, and I quote, according to an article in the Guardian, written by Candia Danes, Prime Minister, while he was in the House of Assembly, said, and I quote, I haven't laid the pandemic spending cause I can't find the information, Davis said. Again, and I quote, and I can tell you this, right as late as within the last 3 weeks, monies were still being returned, cars and boats and other things were being returned to the police that were supposed to be money spent. So I can't lay no pandemic spending because I can't find the information. We are trying to find this, end quote. When I return from the break, I am going to discuss with you a number of reasons why I find this all so problematic. We should take a break. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. You're listening to Z Live. We'll be back after this break. Take a stand, everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. We're talking about some comments made by the Prime Minister about the fact that he is unable to lay an expenditure report related to the pandemic, because he says, in quote, "I can't find the information." So I find that incredible, actually, as a statement coming from the Prime Minister and Minister of Finance. I assure you that there is no human being in this country more capable of getting information for almost anything than the Prime Minister of the Bahamas and the Minister of Finance. In that combination, very difficult. Call a bank, call an insurance company, call a grocer, call any government department, any agency of the government, any corporation, any private sector entity, and ask, could you tell me X, Y, and Z? And some might be reluctant, resistant, but for the most part, a prime minister can get any information practically he wants in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So imagine that your prime minister and the Minister of Finance of the whole Commonwealth of the Bahamas says, not of other people's money. This isn't even about other people's money. This is about your money, the taxpayer money, for which the government of the Bahamas is trustee. I explained that to you all before. The government of the Bahamas is the trustee of your resources, your assets, including your money, which you pay in taxes and fees, and which is borrowed on your behalf. I cannot find out how the money was spent. As a political statement, as a partisan political statement, I am sure that sounds cute. That sounds like something that should be worrisome to the opposition who was previously the government, because the statement suggests you did such a bungled job. You did such an awful job. You did such a terrible job. In fact, you may have done such a corrupt job. No one can account for the multiple millions and millions and millions of dollars you spent during the pandemic. And I, the Prime Minister and Finance Minister of the Bahamas, cannot find out what you did with the money. I'm sure, as a partisan political statement, that sounds grand. But I want you to hear it through the eyes of the international community. Hear it through the ears of your own citizenry. My government cannot account for hundreds of millions of dollars spent during the pandemic. Do you all remember that the deficit during the pandemic peaked at $1.3 billion? Not $1.3 million. $1.3 billion, not $130 million, $1.3 billion. And then the following year was near $900 million. So that's over $2 billion in 2 years. I cannot tell you how the money was spent. For real? Seriously? I want to tell people that if you entrust me with a few hundred million dollars, it is possible that I can't tell you, I can't find it. All right. So let's build this gap. Firstly, the report is supposed to be about details of the total expenditure of goods and services procured. Okay. This is about the government procuring goods and services. This is not about a nonprofit that got money from the government. That's not what it's about. This is about the government procuring goods and services in the pandemic, related to the pandemic. So you're telling me that the government of the Bahamas can't tell me how many masks, how much money was spent on masks, how much money was spent on syringes, how much money was spent on ventilators, how much money was spent on any health-related product or services? The government cannot give you, the treasurer of the Bahamas cannot provide that information, seeing that all such expenditure had to have come out of the treasury of the Bahamas. And we cannot get that information. I cannot accept that. I cannot accept that. We engaged people to provide services to the government in relation to rental facilities for COVID victims and people displaced. We contracted clinics to do COVID testings, et cetera, paid for from the government of the Bahamas. And we, the Treasury of the Bahamas, cannot provide that information to the Minister of Finance? Seriously? Really? I do not accept that, that it's possible. If that is where we are in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, we are in a tragic place. See, the reason why I find that incredible is the government of the Bahamas will lay, has laid before Parliament, estimates of expenditure, revenue and expenditure before. Where are the estimates coming from? See, when the government comes to lay the next fiscal budget before you, it will also lay before you its accounting for, its estimates of what has been spent now. But where are they coming from? And that does not include any pandemic expenditure, none whatsoever. So what are these ministries providing? So expenditure of goods and services procured. This is procured by the government. So are we unable to get from the Treasury of the Bahamas what amount was spent on goods and services procured during the pandemic? Secondly, the suppliers of goods and services, well, if the Treasury made a payment, it made a payment to someone. Every payment out of the Treasury has a vendor attached to it. Are we therefore to accept that we cannot identify the persons or person to whom an expenditure was made? Not to the clinic, not to the hospital, not to the health professional? No, none of them, not to the hotels. Even the controversial food program. This regulation is not asking the government to account for what the nonprofits responsible for feeding people did with the money, though ultimately it will try to get to that. This is saying to the government, tell the Parliament of the Bahamas who got checks to facilitate the feeding service. Can the government not do that? The Treasury of the Bahamas cannot tell you who it cut a check to? I do not accept that. And then it says, and the reasons for the use of the suppliers of goods and providers. Now, here is where it gets tricky for the present administration. if the prime minister brought that report and said, listen, according to the Treasury, this is the total amount we spent. This is what was spent. This was to whom it was spent. But I am unable to altogether tell you the reason for choosing these suppliers. I can tell you what the files say, as was the reason. But in some instances, I haven't the reason, because that was on the other administration. That speaks to rationale. You may not be able to give a rationale for an administration's decision. But surely the standard practice was, if you are going to spend funds, the permanent secretary, who is the chief financial officer of the ministry, ought to have provided the requisite paperwork and details in relation to that expenditure, because the permanent secretary is the chief financial officer of the ministry, not the minister. So surely it is possible that some rationale wasn't provided sufficiently to the permanent secretary to be able to do, but she or he, following directives, would have done the necessary. But surely some rationale could have been given. So I am saying that we have to really ask, what's going on? When we come back from this break, I'm going to tell you where, in the worst circumstances, the law still should have been complied with. In the worst circumstance. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Send you know that you're not alone.
Master Car?
I ain't Master Car. The lady run into me, Master Car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
What risks do inflation, soaring energy prices, and global tensions pose to the Caribbean? Join international experts, local professionals, and policymakers at the 9th annual RF Economic Outlook. Be part of the conversation on March 14th by reserving your seat today at rfbeo.com. RFEO 2023 is proudly sponsored by RF Bank and Trust, Alive Doctors Hospital, Fidelity Bank, J.S. Johnson, PwC, and The Tribune.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, you're free to do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We're talking today about the Prime Minister's startling revelation that he cannot produce a report on pandemic spending and compliance with the law because he can't get any information. So I wanted to tell you a worst case scenario. Let's suppose that the former administration led by Dr. Hubert Minnis, absolutely spend a ton of money, and there's absolutely no record in the Treasury of it, no record anywhere of it. Well, the Lord didn't say to the minister of finance, you know, you got to find information but don't exist. The minister of finance has therefore a duty to lay before parliament a report saying, having inquired of the treasury, having inquired of every ministry of the government of the Bahamas, having sought even to get information from those who were previously in office, I can find no record of expenditure made by the government of the Bahamas in relation to the pandemic. And I therefore have requested a commission of inquiry be established to determine what happened with hundreds of millions of dollars spent on behalf of the Bahamian people in relation to the pandemic. This, therefore, is my report in compliance with the Emergency Powers COVID-19 Regulations 2020. Mr. Speaker, Madam Speaker, I lay the report on the table of Parliament. In the worst case scenario, that's what you do. But I would be skeptical if any such report could be laid, because surely, surely, surely there is an accounting that can be made of that money. Folks, let me tell you all something. I worked in the government of the Bahamas, both as a civil servant in the first instance, and then as a elected official, as a cabinet minister appointed by a prime minister. The people in the Treasury of the Bahamas are professionals. When I was Minister of State and Finance in the Ministry of Finance, they reported to me and to Prime Minister Ingram, who was Minister of Finance with portfolio. They could tell me on a weekly basis what their cash flow was, what their spending was in relation to any matter. Because there is a process for extracting funds out of the ministry, out of the treasury. A minister of finance cannot walk up to the treasury and say, could you give me the checkbooks and let me sign checks? Can't happen. The minister of finance signs no checks. No politician signs any checks ever, ever, ever on behalf of the government of the Bahamas, unless it might be a special account by, like, say, the Minister of Agriculture is a corporation sold, and maybe there's an account associated with them, but even that is a process, right? So, but there's nothing, no Minister of Finance ever, that I'm aware of, signs any checks. What I did sign was a warrant, it's called. And this is the initial warrant to spend in accordance with the Parliament, to spend that $2+ billion. So it's one piece of paper I signed saying to the Treasury, you are now permitted to go and expend in relation to the budget allocations. It wasn't a check, it was a warrant, right? So any money is released, a nickel, you know what a nickel is, right? A nickel is 5 cents. Released from the Treasury is in under the signature of the treasurer. Not no minister, not no politician. So they are the ones who get to tell you what came in to the treasury, what went out. Surely, surely I guarantee you that it is possible for them to say, here is what was requested, $20 million for this, and it went to X. That is possible. This text says the prime minister is comfortable saying that he can't find the information because he does not expect any pushback from the public. This tells me how he views us. This is not right. This text says if he had said that some receipts are still outstanding, still receiving funds, etc., but if I had employed someone and they came with that story, I would give him his pink slip. says this text. This text says, take the previous revelation of monies into personal accounts of MPs, and now the Ministry of Finance can account for monies in the consolidated fund, where the consolidated fund went. See how changes have changed since you was late last there? I have a theory. They used, Alfred says, tablet to access the accounts, or maybe the tablet the minister last used before the election may have had it. Clearly, it can't be on a central server. You're being facetious, man. So, by the way, the statement from the PM about not being able to get information on expenditure is blatantly wanting, and I, for one, cannot take him at his word. This text is lying. You and the Right Honorable Ingram may have done things correctly, but even as yesterday you heard Minnis was doing things contrary to other PMs, things were not being done as normal. First of all, I hear you, but I'm not letting you get away with that because clearly you are not listening to me. This is not about Ingram. This is not about Minnis. This is not about me. This is not even about Mr. Davis. I'm telling you, and I want you to learn, the Treasury of the Bahamas spends money. The Treasury. So if you are telling me that my treasurer cannot tell me where they sent money, then I am living in Disneyland. No, I'm not treating you like fools. See, let me tell y'all something. I'm not gonna let y'all get away with this, right? And I want to do this. I'm not treating you like a fool. The reason why you feel like a fool is because you yourself have confidence issues. Okay? I'm not treating you like a fool at all. You're telling me, I'm talking to you about how the Treasury works. You come to me about what ministers were doing. To me, that sounds like politics. Okay? And again, I'm not getting caught up in where you feel insulted. You're feeling insulted is, again, your own esteem issues. That has nothing to do with me. That's you. That's on you. What I'm saying to you is, and I said it clearly, this is not about any politician. And don't keep writing me because I'm not going to read your stuff. Right? This doesn't make no sense. I'm telling you that this is not about politicians. That Dr. Minnis, for whatever you think Dr. Minnis did or did not do, right? The Treasury of the Bahamas is the one that releases funds. So therefore, if any funds were released, the Treasury of the Bahamas can give an accounting for it. So I'm not getting caught up in what Minnis didn't do or didn't do. Dr. Minnis did a number of things that could be roundly criticized. But if the Prime Minister of the Bahamas and the Minister of Finance today tells me that he cannot provide an expenditure report on pandemic-related matters, I'm saying that means he's saying the treasurer can't give him any such report, and I just certainly find that difficult. Now, that if my refuting you makes you feel unsettled about that, you need to take some classes in how to not be so thin-skinned, because I am not doing that with anyone ever again in my life. I am done with that little bit of petty nonsense. So for those of you who are interested to learn and who want to know, I'm saying, and who I hope can understand, I'm saying to you, the Treasurer of the Bahamas, the Treasury of the Bahamas, releases public funds. They do so following upon paperwork. They don't do so by anyone calling them up and say, listen, give Jack $2,000. That don't happen like that. A request has been to be made, and oftentimes that request is generated through the permanent secretary, who is the chief financial officer, in accordance with the Financial Administration and Audit Act. So if one is saying to me that the treasurer of the Bahamas is unable to produce any kind of accounting for any money spent during the pandemic and related to the pandemic, then like yesterday, I now have a startling revelation on my hands. This text says, you are not treating us like fools. You are giving an explanation. We are so clouded, blinded by our political associations that we can't hear common sense. The texter should be insulted and offended by what the prime minister said. I thank you. I just promise you, I am not, you listen, these people who've been trying to get me to back up in my life because you want to talk about me as opposed to the message. Sorry, Jack, you caught me about, I'd say about 3 or 4 or 5 years too late. This text says, good afternoon. Not sure if you spoke about this before, but if the now PM says he can't find oil in payment under the emergency order, is it possible that the government was not operating as normal times? No, not insofar as the Treasury is concerned. Nothing changed in relation to that. No, no. Even the monies that were given to members of parliament that goes into their accounts, even that money, the Treasury could tell you, well, we gave a member of parliament for this constituency $25,000 in quarter two. We gave member of parliament for that constituency $25,000 in quarter two. Now, you can't say what the member of parliament did with the money. That's on the member of parliament. But can the Treasury say something? Absolutely. No abnormal functioning in that regard. Remember, the Constitution requires that all the money go in the consolidated fund. So you collect the money, got to go in the consolidated fund. Well, how do you get it outside of the consolidated fund? It could only be done by the hand of the treasurer. Only. No other way. No other way. Okay? This text said, We're going to have to take a break for news, ladies and gentlemen, and when we come back, we will continue our discussion. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Again, I trust you are well. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Talking about the comments made by the Prime Minister in the House of Assembly that he hasn't laid a pandemic expenditure report because he can't find the information. This text says, inexplicable. They can't account for the money, and no one will be held accountable. The PM's nonchalant revelation shows how much of a joke this country is. Wow. This text says, Mr. Lang, very good show, and I learn a lot from your show. So, Mr. Lang, who gives the treasurer the right to write a check? Just curious. The Well, the treasurer has that right by law because the treasurer is a corporation sole under law created by parliament and has responsibilities under the law. And so the treasurer has a process though for issuing checks. It has to be done in accordance with the Financial Administration and Audit Act, again, by law. So what the treasurer does is so let me help you. And this is a very good question, actually. The parliament, remember during the budget, the parliament goes through a head-by-head approval of the budget. So meaning the parliament approves this ministry's allocation of X millions of dollars for those expenditure. So having passed that law, the treasurer now has under warrant from the Minister of Finance permission to expend monies in accordance with the budget. So when every expenditure by the government comes within the context of a ministry, okay? There's nothing, it comes within the context of a ministry. Ministry of Education, the Ministry of Finance, the Ministry of Health, the Prime Minister's office, or so forth, right? And then there are expenditures related to, for instance, the House of Assembly, the Senate, the Governor General's office, statutory bodies, and the like. So what happens is a ministry will decide, I need to buy 10,000, let's say two vehicles. The ministry will get quotes for those vehicles from the vendors it's purchasing the vehicles from. It will then send a note through its finance officer to the treasury saying, in accordance with head 21, block 2, item 200123, we are requesting payment for these vehicles out of that block. The treasurer will then look and see, is there and was there allocation in there for that? And is there still money remaining for that purpose? And the treasurer sees that all is in order. Then the treasurer will go and cut a check to that vendor. So that's how it happens. So that's where the authority comes from. It comes from law. Okay. This text is good afternoon. Too much talking. It's time for someone to go to jail for all this nonsense. Because if it was a regular citizen, it would have happened. Well, I don't know that there's any, you know, first of all, the prime minister isn't claiming any corruption. Do y'all remember that the government, when it came to office, commissioned an accountant to look at the matters related to the food program? Remember that? And the accountant accounted for stuff, right? So the accountant found information, and that was information about how those people spend the money that was given to them. You mean to tell me an outside accountant could come and tell you how monies were spent by people you gave money to outside of the government, but the inside accountants of the government can't tell you what the government did in spending money on the pandemic? Really? That's crazy, right? This text says, his statement yesterday was for the benefit of the grassroots supporters. His tone and vernacular he used was all to pander to his supporters playing games. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, a pleasant good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I hope you're doing well, sir.
Right here, my friend. Right here, man.
Mr. Lang, help me to understand this. This was a loan from the IDB, right?
No. This isn't about loans from the IDB. No, this is not about loans from anybody. This is the former administration passed in regulations a regulation requiring the government to provide detailed expenditure of pandemic spending. Period.
All
spending related to the pandemic.
So we got, I understand that but the government did get a special loan from the IDB, I think, of $200 million, right?
No, from the IMF.
IMF, whatever, right?
Yeah, but what I don't want to do is I don't want to confuse the public.
No, I'm trying to understand because all of that will be part of the spending during
that
time.
That's right.
So I am trying to ascertain, was that money then placed in the consolidated funds?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Any loan proceeds has to end up in the consolidated fund.
And so therefore, all monies disbursed from that and all the accumulated incomes that went into the treasury would be accounted for, and any disbursements will also have a record, right?
Absolutely. Listen, my friend, listen to this. Check this out. You and I, all has a deal with banks, right?
So right.
All the government money is in a bank, true or not true?
Well, I mean, as far as I know, but...
Yeah, all is in a bank. But when we talk about the consolidated fund, we're talking about all of the accounts that the government has at the Royal Bank of Canada, First Caribbean, Bank of Bahamas, wherever it is, right?
Right.
So let's suppose the treasurer can't give me no information. A bank could only release information, release payments in relation to something, right? In relation to something, whether it was salary or something like that, right? So ultimately, if you ask your own bank for a statement, your own bank statement could tell you where money went.
Right. I mean, so I don't know what is, I mean, even if he can't account for whatever he can't account for what you can account for, and say this is what we have accounted for. Now, and if you can't account for whatever is, because at the end of the day, the books should balance, right? There should be an accounting, because if you had $1 million and you disbursed $800,000, you should have $200,000 left, right?
Right.
So that's just basic accounting. But
yeah.
I know that there was some special purpose vehicles or whatever, because a lot of things was being done out of the Prime Minister's office, right? And
yeah.
I think they themselves may have had their own funding or whatever it is, but still there ought to be a record of how these different committees or whatever it was that was set up within the OPM's office, there ought to be a paper trail as to how, I mean, what funds were disbursed and how those funds was spent, that the Prime Minister is saying that he can't find any records.
But,
that is what he's saying, that he cannot find any kind of records as to how these funds were spent. So that leads to speculation, right?
Okay, but give me a minute. Even to your point about special vehicles, right? A special vehicle gets set up. It has to be populated with money. So for instance, the Public Hospital Authority is a special purpose vehicle, right? So, well, it's a special legal entity. It has to be, its account has to be populated from the Treasury, though. So the Treasury still could say, I gave to this particular special purpose vehicle $20 million. What they did with it, now maybe you don't have that information, but you have the information about where the Treasurer gave that $20 million. True or not true?
But I mean, that's the way it supposed to be, but it looks like that's the way it was not done, according to what's being said.
Listen to me. I am not allowing, I'm not allowing any room for any doubt about how that works. No doubt whatsoever.
Okay.
No doubt whatsoever. Not because of the politicians, you know.
No, but I mean, Ms. Lang, I'm a former banker myself and have some accounting experience. I mean, there ought to be a requisition for whatever disbursements that are made. So, you know, if the money was in whatever fund, if it went into the consolidated fund and it went from the consolidated fund to another entity or whatnot, there should be a paper trail somewhere saying, well, monies were requested and disbursed, and then you now go to that individual to find out, okay, did you receive this money? How was the money spent? I don't know why we can't find out where the money goes. It just vanished into thin air.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I don't understand that. I mean, we need to call in Sherlock Holmes to find out, you know, bread and money gone? Who took the cookie jar? Thank you for calling, man.
Thank you, my friend. We appreciate you. Listen, we have another call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Yes, sir.
In regards to where the money going, you got to talk to the treasurer.
You know why I don't talk to the treasurer? Because the treasurer is not accountable to the parliament for the money of the people.
But he's accountable for distributing it, right?
No, if you want to know where the money going, you got to find the place who's distributing it. Only on the instructions, though. Only on instructions. This is not about the treasurer. This is about how the treasury works.
The prime minister said he ain't know where the money going, right?
Yeah.
And the treasury is distribute the money under instruction. So they should be able to tell you who instruct them to give out the money and how much money they was instructed to give out.
The Minister of Finance.
Right. Secondly, I'm going to tell you about the government. It's too much money going missing from the government, man. You see, like, inside other countries, they have...
That's not true. I'm not buying
every government that comes in, they say that money was missing from the previous government before them.
I never hear that.
You don't hear every government bashing each other saying they ain't know where this money going and this one don't know where that money going?
No. I don't hear missing money. I hear they can't account for the money. That ain't the same thing.
It ain't the same thing. Okay, let's use it in your words. They can't account for the money.
Yeah, that's different.
In a bunch of different states and countries, they have numerous different, like, security forces. They have the police force, obviously. But then they have people who could interrogate the police force and people who could interrogate them. I think they need to invest inside a private security firm what just can investigate government.
Okay, I got you, brother. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. All right. The investigator of government accounting and financing is called the Auditor General, just so you know. And the Auditor General don't work for the government per se. The Auditor General is independent out there, can do what he needs to do to investigate what happened with government funds. Okay? So that's the Auditor General. In the House of Assembly, it's called the... One committee set up, but is chaired by the and has majority members on it is the opposition. It's the Public Accounts Committee. That's right, Public Accounts Committee. So they could go and do some investigations themselves too, right? Oh Lord, this says. Said day two of shock. We may have to coin this week of shocks as shock week if this continues and join your show again. Thank you. Oh boy, this says Z Live, my favorite talk show host of all times. Thanks for your understanding, Mr. Z. I try my best, man. This text says, but sir, did the Treasury release the $100,000? Yes, it did. Somebody else asked if I confirmed that the monies are still being sent to the members of Parliament's account. I did confirm it. It is still being sent there. So it continues as it was under the Minister's administration. So I was able to confirm that with a member of parliament yesterday, not a former member of parliament, with an existing member of parliament, I was able to confirm that the money still goes directly to their account. So Mr. Lang, please don't be distracted by people who are only interested in advancing their political agenda. Sir, you are a breath of fresh air as far as talk radio is concerned in the Bahamas. I am a 63-year-old retired senior police officer, and I am learning something new from you every time you speak to an issue. Please keep up the good work, as there are many Bahamians who benefit from your experience and knowledge. I appreciate that very much. Thank you. Ms. Tech says, where's the money from the VAT the government collected in the first year? Same place where all our other money is, right in the consolidated fund. Says, if they have it, why can't they find them? Man, you all don't get distracted by that stuff about the I tell him you all the money right there. The money can be accounted for. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, sorry for calling back, but I just wanted to say, one of the reasons why I personally have a problem with the government, because the government passes these laws, and we see it over and over, where the government refuses to obey its own law that it passes, and that is setting the wrong precedent for individuals. Because if the government, if the prime minister is making excuses to why he didn't obey the law, then Joe Public will probably make that same excuse. He may not get away like the prime minister, but so the government has to be very careful, because its citizens, they're watching every move that they make. That's all I want to say, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's a fair point. All right, it's a fair point, because are these optional? You know, when you get arrested or pulled over by the police and the police say, why did you run the red light? You could say, because, I was really phased out. I was thinking about something else right then. Then, officer, I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. You break the law. What do you think the officer could do? Well, some might give you a break, but if they believe you, others might just say, sorry, bro. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather.
Whether your business is in store, on the go, or both, let Fidelity work with you to maximize your customers' payment options with a fixed or mobile terminal so that you never miss a sale. It's safer than cash and more convenient so that you can take your business anywhere. For details, contact a business development officer today at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport, or visit our website at fidelitygroup.com.
It's a new year, and you're super excited to start the year off right. You've made your New Year's resolutions, doing more exercising, healthier eating, saving more, making better decisions and all that. If you have information or products that encourages healthy living, promotes sound financial decisions, or even promotes a positive lifestyle, one smart decision is to advertise in the Nassau Guardian's Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise supplement. So if you're a physician, speech, massage, or physiotherapist, own a gym, nutritional deli, or restaurant? Does your financial insurance institution or credit institution have the plan for investing wisely? Then that information should be in the Nassau Guardian's Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise supplement. One low price gives you an ad in the supplement, plus 15 30-second commercials. Interviews also available on Star 106 Hits, Guardian Radio, and Hot 91. Contact your account executives or the Nassau Guardian now. Start the new year right in the Nassau Guardian's Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise supplement.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, I'm going to tell you all what has been, well, the Bahamian public gets victimized, even though they also, in some of them, participate in it. But the Bahamian public as a whole get victimized by the partisan wranglings that is done now. Let me be clear for you. Our form of government is an adversarial form of government. What do I mean by that? The way our democracy works is parties, entities, individuals compete for votes. You compete for votes. If there were no competition for votes, there would just be a selection of you're the government, you're the member of parliament, and you're the government. That's what would happen. There'd be a selection. But in our system, the expectation is you, the voter, get sent to you people who are vying for your vote. They, therefore, have to make a case for your vote. A part of that case is, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do that for you. That's a part of the case. The other part of the case is, don't trust them to do anything for you. Don't trust this one to do anything for you. And so when one party is in office, the other party, while it's saying what it will do for you, is also saying, look at what they've done to you. Look at what they've done around you. And so forth, that goes back and forth. Now, in the process, what we don't realize is we are indirectly making statements about our government. We think I'm mashing up Minnis. I'm mashing up Davis. I'm mashing up Finland. I'm mashing up Ingram. I'm mashing up Christie. But the execution of government is carried out by a civil service, a professional institution with the responsibility of carrying out the instructions, lawful instructions of the government. So when the opposition says, oh, they take the money and they spend the money and nobody could tell you what they do with the money, what they have just said is the permanent secretaries, who are the chief financial officers of the ministry, they are clueless about what they did with the money and are participants in this incompetence or corrupt exercise. And so forth, the undersecretary, the deputy permanent secretary, the first assistant secretary, the second assistant secretary, and down the line, and all the civil servants, they are making comments not only on the political directorates, but they're also making commentary to the whole wide world about the competence or incompetence, the corruption or lack thereof, of the entire government of the Bahamas. And then we wonder why the public has so little confidence in the government. And I'm not talking about the politicians alone, have so little confidence in the government, have so little confidence in whether their money is professionally handled, have so little confidence in whether or not people are in fact doing things in an ethical and professional manner. Well, why should they? When, depending on where you sit, you stand up and say, these people have done this thing this way, and it all sounds like one banana republic at work. Thank you. we get this continuous erosion in the government, in the perception of government. Because we say things that, yeah, for the moment, it sounds like a hit on this one, a hit on that one, but it is a hit on us as a people, as a country, as a society, our government as an institution. If we went around saying the courts of the Bahamas is corrupt, corrupt, we'd have an issue. Could you imagine if the judges of the Bahamas had to compete for votes to get to be judges? And they had to tell you why, don't get him. That one's soft on grind. Don't get him, he's soft on grind, she's soft on grind. But in our system, this is what we have this adversarial system, and our adversarial system doesn't reach upward. It does not. I participated in it, and I'm telling you, it don't reach upward. It has reached downward. It is about knocking the other side to the ground, removing every shred of integrity you could have in them, and trying to make them look so incompetent, so corrupt, and so nasty, and so wicked, and so evil, and so that people them to look at you just makes me sick. That's where it reaches down to. That's what happens. Let me back up. Y'all been participants in, y'all been observers of the political campaigns in the Bahamas. You tell me if I lie in or not. Or is it that our adversarial system is such that, well, you know, I know those people tell you they could do this and it's a good plan, but I have a better plan. Oh, you know, he's a nice guy and he's capable, but I am nicer and more capable. Is that what happens? Or am I living some fantasy? This text says, Mr. Lang, Mr. Davis does not have time to work out the country finance. He don't settle down long enough. Billions of dollars missing. That's it. You think that's the problem? That the Prime Minister's travel schedule is causing an issue. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you something different. I'm saying the Prime Minister's travel schedule doesn't have to get in the way of accounting for money because he can get that report from his people. The permanent secretaries and them and the Treasury can put together that report. I would shudder to think that if I became Prime Minister of the Bahamas, that a group of professional people, such as I know them to be, in the government of the Bahamas, could not produce for me a report. I could have a report for y'all in a matter of days, I would say. I tell you that. I would have a report for you. I definitely would have a report for you. No question about it. Would it be a complete report? Maybe not. But I definitely would have a report. But I could almost tell you it would be a fairly complete report from the extent that I could report. And if you give me enough time, it'll be more complete. It'll be complete with suspicions of malfeasance, suspicions of mishandling, and the like. Without question, if I thought it was a serious matter to do, if it was something I really wanted to do, I would do it because it is in the interest of the country, the people of the Bahamas, the taxpayers of the Bahamas, to know in a circumstance as unique and as significant as a pandemic, how we as a country went about spending precious resources. Listen to me, man. Listen. During the pandemic, the government of the Bahamas in those so far two collective years, almost 3 years now, has spent close to $10 billion. $10 billion. Let me tell you what that is per capita, per person in the Bahamas. $10 billion. That is $25,000 a person. $25,000 per person in the Bahamas. That means the little one-month-old baby spent $25,000. The little two-month-old baby spent $25,000. The one-year-old child spent $25,000. The two-year-old child spent $25,000. The three-year-old child spent $25,000. And on for 400,000 people. If we took the children out, the per capita spending would be $50,000 per, right? So that's a lot of money, one would want to know. A fair part of it you don't have to worry about because that was salaries for civil servants, your rent, your leases, and those kinds of things. So that's chalk. We already know what happens to that money. We're talking about the special set of spending arising from the pandemic. That might be maybe an additional $300-$500 million or thereabouts. Still a lot of money. We should be able to account for it. It is not sufficient. And I don't know how we will be comfortable with the notion that we can't tell you where it is because we can't get the information. Well, let me ask you, who are you asking for the information? Think about this for a minute, right? Okay. If you were Minister of Finance, you became Minister of Finance, and you wanted to know where the money was spent in terms of the pandemic, who would you be asking questions to? Somebody tell me. Where would your first question land? To whom would your first question be presented? To whom? Tell me. Please. Be the first person you go ask. I'm trying to figure out what the government of the Bahamas spent on the pandemic. Somebody tell me to the Treasury. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, as a minister, I wouldn't start there directly. The Minister of Finance could start there. As a minister, I would start to my permanent secretary. Permanent secretary, in relation to this ministry, could you produce a report of any expenditure made during the course of the pandemic? Permanent secretary, I imagine, goes, yes, minister. Gets with the finance officers and them, and bam, 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 bam. Come up with a report. They may say, you might look at the report and say, well, you know, I'm not entirely sure that's complete, but, you know, if it's the best we could do, okay. Minister of Finance goes to the treasurer and poses the same question. Who are you asking? So you asked, so let's suppose that is what is happening. Let's suppose the minister goes to the permanent secretary and say, listen, I will need a report on spending made in the course of the pandemic and national security. There was national security minister before the government changed, this one now. Education before the government changed, well, even though they didn't change, there was an education ministry. So on and so forth and so forth. And the permanent secretary said, but minister, I can't give you that because there's no information. Now, so if the permanent secretary said that to me, I would say, if the permanent secretary was not the permanent secretary at that time, I would go to the permanent secretary at that time and I would ask that permanent secretary, you are telling me that no expenditure was made. No, I'm not telling you that, minister, but I'm telling you, no records exist as to the expending. Really? That's what you're telling me, permanent secretary? Really? Okay. This text says, So I'm just wondering, why would a current administration not be willing to report the expenditure of a former administration? That's a very good question, actually. That's a super question. I can only imagine you do it as a matter of either politics or incompetence. It's the only reason I could see. Or there truly does not exist any records. That's only, those are only three reasons I could think of. You, there really are no records. Secondly, you are just doing it for politics' sake, because having it open like that means that the former administration is being looked at as totally incompetent, corrupt, and the like. Or, you know, you yourself just too lazy or incompetent to get it. Those are only three reasons I can think of why it would be so. Okay, we're going to take our final break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
How are you doing?
Okay.
Are you sure? I notice you've been down lately.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know. I can't really put into words how I'm feeling, but I know I don't feel like myself sometimes. There's just so much going on in my life. School, friends, sports. Sometimes I worry about different things and feel stressed.
I'm glad you're talking to me. And it's okay to talk about your feelings. It's normal to feel changes depending upon what's going on around you.
Yeah?
Of course. All of us should be concerned with our mental health and our well-being. Good mental health means that we can cope with our everyday stresses. You can talk to me anytime when you feel like it.
Okay. We should have these check and talks more often and take things from there.
Message is brought to you by PAHO WHO and the Ministry of Health and Wellness.
What risks do inflation, soaring energy prices, and global tensions pose to the Caribbean? Join international experts, local professionals, and policymakers at the 9th annual RF Economic Outlook. Be part of the conversation on March 14th by reserving your seat today at rfbeo.com. RFEO 2023 is proudly sponsored by RF Bank and Trust, Alive Doctors Hospital, Fidelity Bank, J.S. Johnson, PwC, and The Tribune.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 4393. Anyways, we'll have to continue to monitor the situation and see how that continues to evolve. I see. Yeah. This text says, great show. Does the vendors and the charitable organizations have a responsibility by law to give account for the money they received? In your humble opinion, not that you know what Mr. Davis thinking, but why wouldn't he release the report? I would think it makes better sense for him to do so. I think you're quite right, actually. I do not know if there was any express legislation requiring a reporting from the entities that got monies from the government or vendors or charitable organizations, right? I do not think that that is the case, because I don't think in law they are required. But I can't imagine anyone wanting to have a continuing relationship with the government of the Bahamas. See, if you're stupid enough to think you are having only a relationship with a personality in government, then you don't have an institution or organization. You just have a little personal tuck shop going on for yourself. But if you want to have a continuing relationship with the government and understanding that the government administrations change, then you want to have a continuing relationship with the government. And so if the government, first of all, you should want to report to the government what was done in relation to funds, even if you're not asked. You don't have to do it, but I'm saying you should put yourself in a position to do so if you are required to do so, right? So you should want to do that. If the government asks you, you should be eager to do so. Why? Why would I not be eager to report to the government what I have done with funds provided? Because if I am in the business of charity, I want the government to keep giving me money. I want the government to keep doing it so that I can keep doing the good work that I'm doing. Okay? So I should want to say to the government, yes, I got $200,000 from you. 5% of that went for administrative fees. 10-20% of it went for the services related to this, and another 20% went to services related to that. And here are the details of that, and do so. Why would I not want to do that? I think it's absolutely, if an entity is unwilling to do that, then I am suspect of that entity's operation. I am. I say suspect because it could mean a couple of things. Either they do not have the human resource and financial systems infrastructure to properly account for monies, and that is possible, in which case they should ask for help, or they don't want to report the money because, you know, I didn't need a little thing to pay for some personal matters, and I know that wasn't what y'all give me the money for, but I can't tell you that because that's going to make me look bad. Right? So you ought to be willing. Again, I think it is possible for a nonprofit to be able to say, you know what, honestly, the situation was so hurried and the demand was so great. Our infrastructure was really so limited. I don't really have the best files in the world, but I can tell you, sit down and try your best to account for it. And maybe you have a little miscellaneous category because maybe some funds were not capable of being accounted for in the best way. Just say so. Say so. Right? But I don't think there's any law requiring it as such. This text is Mr. Lang, excellent show. There is no way, absolutely no way that information is not available. They had to have destroyed it because there should be supporting documentation for every check requisition done that is required before a check is prepared and monies are dispersed. I am 100% in agreement with you, 100%. Now, who destroyed it? I mean, when I say agreement, I'm in agreement that there's a paper trail. I don't think this is a question of destroying anything. I mean, like, first of all, who destroyed it? Who destroyed it? You have sitting treasurers. Who was there when Minister Administration was in office? Deputy treasurers. No, they're called now accountant general, is it? Yeah. You have all these professionals who were there before. You telling me they all conspired to destroy the documents? Really? Seriously? And you think that could be kept a secret after a government change? No, man. Even Prime Minister Davis can imagine that. No. No documents were destroyed. No documents were destroyed. Yeah, let's do an experiment. Let's do an experiment. Make me prime minister for 1 week and see if we don't get a report. I'm just kidding. That's joking. You realize that all I'm doing is really essentially. Honestly, what I'm doing is I'm trying to help you see with some clarity how our process works. I have a little bit more confidence in it than I think the average citizen does. I do because I worked in it. Not merely as a politician, I worked in it as a civil servant. I have more confidence in those people and in that system than the average person does. And so therefore, when I hear some things, I am not prepared to sit by in the face of my own experience and not question it. Now, if better information is brought to my attention, like yesterday, when it came to the $100,000, I'm prepared to acknowledge what the reality and the facts are. I'm prepared to do that. I just, in the moment, find it challenging to accept the current situation on this matter. Texas, Mr. Lang, thank you so much for your knowledge and non-bias. You are truly a beacon of transparency and fairness. Please continue the excellent work and continue to keep us informed, sir. Awesome job. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Try. I'm telling you all that listen, I know there are some civil servants who really do not do justice to the service. I accept that. Just like some lawyers don't do justice to their profession, or doctors, or accountants, or priests, or pastors, or, you know, teachers, some. But many, 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 many more do excellent service to their profession. And I can tell you, in the upper echelons of there, there are people who are dedicated to their craft. Not all of them. But there are people who are dedicated to their craft, who are passionate about the service, who believe in the service, who yearn even for their own service to be better. And them people ain't trying. Let me tell you something. Them, you see them saying professional? The last thing they want anybody to do is to hold any commission of inquiry and find their name attached to any kind of skullduggery. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Mr. Lang, how are you today?
Hey, I'm okay. And yourself?
You know, now, once again, I hear all your text messages about your unbiasedness and your ability to clarify topics that looks vehement or would have a problem clarifying. But I would like if you could clarify this issue in reference to the BPL situation. Mm. I catch pieces of the leader of the opposition and the prime minister discussion in the House yesterday. Can you clarify that, please? What happened, what was supposed to happen, what didn't happen, and why it is the way it is?
That was a whole show I did yesterday, and I really, we're not going to have enough time to go over that again, but that was a whole show I did yesterday. Maybe it'll come up again one day, but if you get a chance, you can go on Guardian Radio and listen to the show yesterday, and maybe that'll help you, but we won't have time to do all
okay,
of
I'll
today.
Do that.
Yeah, thanks a lot, my friend. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Mr. Lang, how are you today?
I'm good, and yourself?
I'm doing well, man. I've been listening to your show, and I can't see how things could go haywire in the Ministry of Finance. There's too many mechanisms in place, checks and balances. And if I'm an employee from the Ministry of Finance, not to give any names, but I would call in and defend my department. Someone needs to call in from the ministry. We have mechanisms in place. Things just can't go afoul, go missing.
Ain't nobody from the Ministry of Finance doing that, and I would not advise them to do that.
No. What I'm saying, I'm not giving any name, but I'm saying they are making mechanisms in place.
It don't matter, man. You live in a small country. I get my voice on the radio. What you think happened?
Yeah, but I'm only saying because if I work in, and I know we work in off, and we're working and we're doing our diligence, I don't let anybody ridicule me to assume that we doing skullduggery or whatever you call it.
Yeah, I understand.
Because I would defend, trust me, I don't care what I wait for. I don't have to call my name, but I'm going to say, listen, hey, we have systems in place. It's impossible for Casper, the friendly ghost, to go missing.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I'm saying. Because this thing, it's ludicrous if you ask me. Systems are in place. I don't believe in encouraging this type of nonsense because it's almost like a Disney World foolishness.
I'm waiting to hear from the members of parliament, I mean the ministers and them, including the former prime minister, who was there. There should be a robust response from them.
If this is the case, then you have no country.
Yeah, I got you, man. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. All right. This text of Mr. Lang, prime minister's explanation is unacceptable. Anywhere monies are requested and dispersed in this technological environment, there's always a trail. The issue may be where it leads. Keep up the excellent work of informing and educating the populace. Thank you very much, my friend. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so happy you could join us today. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivaru Lang, your host. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spare us in life. Y'all have a great, great evening.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.